Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on 1600 ESPN. This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Here we go on a Tuesday that feels like a Monday. How you doing? Spencer on Sports back with you here on 1600 ESPN. Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Hope you had a great long weekend. It's the unofficial kickoff to the summer season, and it sure feels like that outside. We've got the AC on, and for the first time in what feels like forever, the meat locker feel in the 1600 ESPN studio is welcomed. That is for sure, considering we're in the mid to upper 80s around Eastern Iowa. Power Hour edition of the show getting going here. Cubs radio pregame show starts in exactly 1 hour here on 1600 ESPN. 5:05 tonight. Cubs looking to break a 9-game losing streak. We'll get you a quick Cubs report coming up here in just a matter of moments. It's brought to you by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, but you'll hear plenty about the losing streak, how they think they can break it. A lot of confidence coming out of that clubhouse last night or yesterday afternoon, I guess, after the Memorial Day loss to Pittsburgh 2-1. Trying to figure things out. Been a really, really odd season when you look at just streaks in general. Still plenty of season left, but you want to start to be playing some good, better baseball here if you are the Chicago Cubs. And they'll look to do that tonight with Jordan Wicks on the hill opposite Braxton Ashcraft. 5:40 first pitch means radio coverage on all of our frequencies tonight, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. That starts at 5:05. So short show today, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. Friday a little bit later, 5:40 the start time, but with you for a little bit less of a time together, but still plenty to talk about here as we get going here on a short week on 1600 ESPN. 319-366-1600, that is the talk line and the text line, both open for you here as we get going here on this post-Memorial Day edition of Spencer on Sports. Going to treat this hour as basically three big things, three stories, three topics, three headlines that have caught our attention over the last 24 hours or so. We got some basketball to talk about. We got some baseball to talk about. We'll get you that Cubs report in just a moment. Also, some history made and quite the drought between no-hitters. We had a combined no-no yesterday on the holiday in Major League Baseball. We'll talk about that, plus some college football news. We are continuing the countdown to the college football season. We reached the 100-day mark just last week. I've taken the liberty upon myself to create a countdown clock. So just to help us keep official track, there's no losing track of dates. There's no doing any of that. But I do have the countdown clock starting today, earlier today, to the first game, the first kickoff of week zero on August 29th. And we are approaching 90 days until the start of the college football season, which, again, I'm wishing summer away. It's not even officially summer yet, but college football is college football. We can celebrate that. We got some news today, some breaking news, not necessarily surprising, involving Brendan Sorsby. Also, trouble with the SEC? Maybe not trouble. Some divisions. A lack of uniformity. A lack of a united front from the Southeastern Conference, which we'll get to coming up here in just a little while. Also, we'll take a look at what's happening tonight in sports. We've got plenty to discuss tonight. We got Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. Spurs and Thunder, the only conference finals series still happening in the NBA. Also, we could have an NHL series end tonight. Kind of surprising when you have the Avalanche down 3-0 to Vegas. Maybe not all that surprising, but Avalanche, the top seed, President's Cup winners, right? Yeah, seeing them down 3-0 is, what's going on there? We'll preview that and a whole lot more before 6 as well. So 319, or before 5. Jeez, not doing 2 hours. We're doing the Power Hour. 5:05 here on 1600 ESPN. My brain's still in holiday mode. That's my excuse. 319-366-1600. Let's get things going with our three big things for a Tuesday afternoon.
What's happening?
Big news. This just in.
This is really important.
Wow, that is really, really big.
Three big things, three stories, three topics, three headlines Cover the biggest stories in sports. That's how we're going to treat this power hour the next couple of days here on 1600 ESPN. Like I mentioned, a Cubs report coming up. Also, some football talk, college football talk before the end of the short show today. But you can't have three big things without
number one.
And how about some basketball talk? There's been plenty of Knicks talk on this station today, so I will not add to the pile, at least too much, of New York Knicks talk. The national network ESPN Radio, which you hear the majority of our time here on 1600 ESPN, has been wall-to-wall Knicks coverage, and rightfully so. A historic occasion last night, the Knicks sweeping the Cleveland Cavaliers out of the Eastern Conference Finals, headed back to the NBA Finals for the first time since 1999. We'll react to that here in just a little bit. But some off-season non-conference news wanted to get to quick in terms of Iowa women's basketball. It's still many, many weeks, months away until the basketball season starts, the college basketball season returns to us. But we start to see the pieces of the puzzle over the next several months get put together as to who they're playing for the upcoming season. We already know they'll play the big three, right, in state, the in-state teams, Iowa State, UNI, and Drake. I'm sure there's other games and conference or preseason tournaments that are put out there that will be released very soon. But an interesting piece to the puzzle announced earlier today, a short but sweet announcement with this, and it's the first time in quite some time, not necessarily we've seen these two teams play each other, but the first time in quite some time we're going to see this as a home and home. But Iowa and UConn in women's basketball announcing a home-and-home series starting here this coming season, 2026-2027. It will extend into the 27-28 season. Iowa will have to go on the road to play the Huskies at a yet-to-be-determined location. It could be Gamble Pavilion. If you're familiar with UConn women's basketball, which I'm sure the majority of you are, they play their games at Gamble, which is in Stores, if I'm not mistaken, or People's Bank Arena in Hartford. They have not yet announced which arena, which venue will host this game or the date. I've seen November 8th floated around as a possibility for this. But for the first time in quite some time, and the first time in a non-tournament or showcase event type of context, you're going to see Jan Jensen and the Hawkeyes take on Gina Auriemma and UConn. Really big non-conference test. We know that. We've seen this matchup a couple of times over the last few years. In fact, we saw it just this past season with UConn winning 90-64 back in December 20th of last year. That was the Women's Champions Classic in New York, if I'm not mistaken. UConn leading the all-time series 7-4. But we did have the dramatic win, the close win for Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes back in the 23-24 season in the Final Four, which led them to the national championship, second straight national championship appearance in Caitlin Clark's senior year. So in a non-tournament or non-showcase event context, we're going to see this matchup happen again. And who knows, we kind of know what both teams will look like. You have to imagine UConn will be the heavy quote-unquote favorite for this game, but a unique kind of showcase event in terms of getting a marquee non-conference opponent on your roster and it's on your schedule. And it's not just we're going to play you once and see ya, or it's not a Women's Champions Classic kind of thing where it's predetermined by someone, right? It's part of the organizers of the event. This is two schools coming together saying, yeah, let's do this. We want to add some better competition to our schedules, right? It might end up being UConn winning 90-64 again. We really don't know since it's so early in the season, but have to imagine that UConn will be highly ranked to start the year. Iowa probably will be too, but a lot of new faces, still that returning core that we've talked about, but a lot of new faces coming out of the transfer portal. And as we know, It takes a while to mesh. So if you're looking at this as a potential upset territory, it's a little too early, obviously, to determine that, and we'll see what happens coming up in November or December. But a good opportunity, I think, for this Iowa women's team that still has, you know, key pieces to the puzzle returning, but had to go to the transfer portal to get quite a few players to kind of backfill the roster. Of course, having a highly touted recruit in McKenna Velichko coming in this coming season, a good way to see how you stack up early on, you know, the old iron sharpens iron type of thing. I think that's definitely how you can look at it. So definitely a worthwhile opportunity. What's cool about it is, like I said, it's not just a one-off kind of thing. It's not an NCAA tournament kind of thing. This is something that will be, or there will be, a return matchup. That's what home and home is. I don't need to explain that to you, but you'll see UConn come to Carver Hawkeye Arena in 2027-28. Of course, date for that game well out into the future. But I think a really neat opportunity to get a marquee matchup on your schedule, right, again. And it just kind of further proves that Iowa basketball, still Iowa women's hoops especially, still kind of that nationally thought of brand, right? Now, what, 2-3 seasons post Caitlin Clark, it's still someone that will draw, or a team that will draw attention, will draw marquee opponents, right? And something that I think is worthwhile for both teams, really, when you look at it. We know that UConn schedules a more challenging non-conference schedule than their conference slate. Their Big East schedule is I'll just come out and say it, a joke, quite frankly, because the nearest competitive team, I think, is usually Villanova. There might be one or two other teams that have a decent season, but UConn just runs roughshod through the Big East. So they schedule these more challenging games, right, against high-level competition, Big Ten, Big 12, ACC, teams like that. But it's the first time in quite some time we've seen this as a home-and-home. I went back through the media guide for those wondering. The last time Iowa played UConn at UConn, you have to go all the way back to the 2001-02 season, UConn winning soundly 86-48. Last time UConn came to Carver or set foot in Iowa City was the 99-2000 season, and the Huskies dominating that one as well, 73-45. So 7-4 all time, only 11 total meetings between Iowa and UConn. But the 12th will be coming up later on this season, as it will take place either at Gamble Pavilion or People's Bank Arena. 319-366-1600. That led me to the question, and maybe this is a dream non-conference matchup, but if you had the power, and I'll open this up to men's and women's fans too, and not necessarily Iowa fans either, if you are an Iowa State fan or a fan of a different team, what's your dream non-conference matchup for your team? 319-366-1600. I imagine UConn would be on the short list for many Hawkeye women's hoops fans. We've seen it, like we said, over the last couple of years. National semifinals back in the 23-24 season, Caitlin Clark's senior year. And then we had the matchup in New York City just this past year on December 20th. So we've seen Iowa-UConn before, but you could schedule a non-conference home-and-home. Who would it be? 319-366-1600. You are your school's athletic director. You get to help determine the schedule, who you putting on it. Or are you just scheduling nothing but cupcakes? Keep things easy. Keep things unbeaten going into conference play. That's totally acceptable too. 319-366-1600. But Iowa and UConn women's hoops starting up that series later on this year. Thought that was a pretty cool story to kick things off here today. Of course, the biggest story as we continue on here on the Power Hour edition of the show, biggest story in hoops in general, is the New York Knicks heading to the Eastern Conference Finals, the NBA Finals. I see the words Eastern Conference Finals right in front of me, so I just decide, read what's on the paper. It's like Ron Burgundy. Put something in front of me and I'll just read it. No, I seriously don't do that. I do pre-read my stuff, I swear. But the first NBA Finals for the first time since 1999, Knicks riding an 11-game win streak in the postseason. And, man, you talk about dominance, especially in closeout games. They have been they have just absolutely been dominant in closeout games. We'll get to some thoughts on that in just a moment. But the Knicks advancing last night, winning by 37 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Really no contest. And really these last three games, when you think about it, in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals have just been all Knicks all the time, really taking advantage of a weak Eastern Conference, but getting the job done and getting to the NBA Finals for the first time since 1999. This is Mike Brown, who's back in the finals as a head coach, talking about sweeping the Cavs out of the Eastern Conference.
Well, it's pretty great. I've said it all along. My staff has been unbelievable. The players, they're unbelievable. I mean, you're in the playoffs, you're in the conference finals, and, you score 65 points off of offensive rebounds and fast break points. I don't know if I've ever seen that before at this point in the year. So I give our guys a lot of credit for sticking to the game plan and really trying to, push the pace, because that's what we wanted to do coming into this series. 41%, 42%, 93 points against a team that's of their offensive caliber. It was just amazing. Again, coaching staff came up with a fantastic game plan, and our players went out there and executed it.
Now, the players certainly deserving a ton of credit, including Jalen Brunson, who's had a fantastic series. The whole team as a whole has had a fantastic series, but Jalen Brunson getting a lot of love both locally in New York and nationally as well for how he's played this playoffs, but especially in the Eastern Conference Finals. I mentioned just how dominant the Knicks have been in the postseason, especially in closeout games. You look back at how they just demolished the Hawks. They beat them by 51 in Game 6. They won Game 4 in Philadelphia by 30. And then beat the Cavs Monday night in Cleveland by 37. The first time in NBA history they've had three 30-point series clinching wins. Here's Jalen Brunson on just how are they able to do that here this postseason and make a little history in the process.
I'm playing hard, mixing a little luck as well. But I think most importantly, we're becoming focused. Just focus on one possession at a time, and then just playing hard for that possession and worrying about the stuff, the future later. And we've been locked in on the moment, and I think we need to continue to do that.
They have been locked in, that's for sure. And they really need to stay locked in, because the finals themselves, the NBA finals themselves, they don't start until a week from tomorrow. So they got some extra time off, still waiting on who's going to come out of the West, because there will be for sure six games. The series between the Spurs and the Thunder all tied up at two games apiece. In the West, Game 5 tonight, Game 6 will be coming up later on this week, potential Game 7 this weekend if it should pop up. A long time between the win last night and when they start up the finals. Karl Anthony Towns talking to reporters last night, just how do you stay locked in? How do you stay focused when you have quite a bit of time off in between?
Seems hungry, and that's the most important thing. Even with an amazing historical win we had tonight, the celebrations were minimal. We really want to get back to work. Ask coach, can we get back to work quick? We know what happened last time. We had a long layoff, so we already talked after the game right away about preparing, getting to practice, getting back to the work. It's what's made us special, and it's what's gonna give us a chance to win the next series.
Knicks with a 19.4 points per game differential this postseason, the highest entering the finals in NBA history. 11 10-point wins, also the most prior to the finals. Game one of the finals is, like I said, a week from tomorrow, with Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals coming up here tonight. We'll get you a little bit more sound on that coming up here in just a little bit. We'll try to bring, we're for sure going to bring you some games in the finals, just works around the Chicago Cubs schedule here on 1600 ESPN. Cubs get top priority, then kind of fill in beyond that when it comes to scheduling here on our airwaves. So we'll work in playoffs in the NBA and try to get you a little bit of the Stanley Cup final as well in hockey. Just depends on how the baseball schedule shakes out. But no doubt, impressive stuff from the Knicks as they get to the finals for the ninth time and the first time since 1999. 319-366-1600. One other quick note, by the way, just saw this on my screen. This came out within the last hour-ish or so. Kenny Atkinson expected to return as the Cavs head coach. There was a lot of discussion. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? That's an accomplishment in its own right. But they just got decimated by the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. There is some discussion out there. Okay, is he really the right man for the job in Cleveland? He's got a big hump to get over, that is for sure. It sounds like Donovan Mitchell, James Harden both expected to be back. Kenny Atkinson for sure will be back as the head coach in Cleveland. Just wanted to mention that as well. Let's get to our
Number two.
On our three big things, and we'll count this as our quick Cubs report brought to you by Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, 101 South Dubuque Street in downtown Iowa City, in the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets. To be exact, you can check out what they have to offer online at HertinandStockerJewelers.com. Chicago Cubs falling 2-1 to the Pittsburgh Pirates on Monday. It has been a really interesting season to follow, to put it very, very mildly. You're a Cubs fan. You have, I'm sure, some other choice words that I personally cannot say on radio to describe the season so far. But a pair of 10-game win streaks this season, a mini kind of skid in between those 10-game losing streaks, or 10-game win streaks, sorry, and now a 9-game losing streak, which could extend to 10 tonight. I mentioned before the Cubs going with Jordan Wicks tonight, making his first appearance this season. After starting the year on IL, he'll be opposite Braxton Ashcraft tonight for the first pitch at 5:40. So two 10-game win streaks, a 9-game losing streak that could extend to 10 and beyond if they can't find a way to win tonight, tomorrow, or at any point during this series. Cubs 2-1 loss yesterday marked their ninth straight defeat. Like I said, they joined the 2017 Dodgers as the only two teams in the expansion era to have multiple 10-game win streaks and a 9-game skid in the same season. So certainly not some history that you want to make or want to join in on, but that's just how baseball goes sometimes. And Craig Counsell talking with reporters, this audio courtesy of the Marquee Sports Network, about how they can turn things around. And according to the Cubs skipper, it's a pretty simple equation to get things back on track.
We got to play better. We got to swing the bats better. We got to pitch better. We need more guys, you know, contributing to good stuff. And you know, as coaching staff, we got to figure out a way to get the players there. You know, we're offensively, we are equipped to be way more consistent than this and way better than this. And we need to show it.
Solid start for Ben Brown, wasted by the lack of offense for the Cubs yesterday. Ben Brown, a bright spot amidst all kind of the turmoil here over the last couple of weeks. Brown, 6 innings, 4 hits, a run, 2 walks, struck out 7. His earned run average now at 2.01. But runners in scoring position, the inability, to drive them in, leaving men on base was still an issue, maybe not as big an issue as you saw late last week in the Houston series, but left quite a few on base yesterday, 0-for-2. With runners in scoring position yesterday were the Cubs against Pittsburgh. And despite Brown's best efforts, it was one mistake and not enough offense that really spelled doom again for the Cubs and extended that losing streak to 9 games. Michael Busch, the lone, I guess, hero of the day, lone productivity on the offensive side. Busch with a solo home run in the 5th inning. Here is his thoughts on the losing streak and how the Cubs can get back on track.
Yeah, I think it's pretty challenging. It's hard to see the bright spots in it. You know, just trying to do anything we can to scrape across the W. I thought just a little bright spot was Ben Brown going out there and kind of doing his thing, and just the role that he's had for us and the consistency he's had over the last few starts has been pretty amazing. But we just got to kind of dial it in and do what it takes to get a win.
I read you Ben Brown's stat line. Brown here talking about just his perspective on getting things back on track. He's doing all he can. Understands, though, it's not an individual game. It's a team game, and a lot of different areas that that need some fixing here as the streak continues.
Yeah, I mean, we got to play with freedom. We can't play locked up both sides of the ball. I mean, there's tons of games where hitters are picking us up and then vice versa, and just the reality of baseball, like I said, and you can't go out there and put that kind of pressure on yourself. It's not realistic, and You know, I know we're all just trying to do better. Obviously, like, you know, even for me, that third inning, I'm walking, a dude that ends up scoring. Like, that can't happen. So we're making mistakes. But ultimately, like, just got to go out there and make the next pitch, and we'll be all right.
9 straight losses, 13 of their last 15 have been losses since that 10-game win streak, the team's longest losing streak for the Cubs, the 9-game losing streak, their longest since July of 2022. They lost 10 in a row in June of 2022. That was in the midst of a rebuild for this team and looking to right the ship here. Still, like I said, plenty of time to do that, but don't want to continue on this losing streak against, as we've talked about, the schedule that was pretty favorable and continues to be pretty favorable just based on who you're playing. Your schedules are not, or games are not won and lost on paper. We know that, but you got Pittsburgh. Cardinals have been playing well later on this week. You'll see them, but Sacramento, just the A's, old habits die hard, put it in the swear jar, calling them Oakland, but the Rockies twice in the coming weeks. The Giants have had a rough start to the year. Even the Astros last week, one of the worst ERAs in baseball, just not able to get the job done, and they're not able to win those games, and that's that hurts right now for the Cubs. So looking to get back on track tonight. Again, Jordan Wicks and Braxton Ashcraft at 5:40 for that game tonight as they look to right the ship here. Had some history real quick before we get to a break here. A little bit of history in baseball. The Houston Astros with a combined no-hitter, and let the debates begin. Does a combined no-hitter mean as much as a solo no-hitter? Some people will tell you no, it is not as big as an accomplishment as a solo no-hitter where you have one pitcher get 27 outs. Some people say, hey, and I kind of lean towards this, right? I understand, you know, the specialness of one person, one player, one pitcher getting 27 outs, 27 up, 27 down, or getting that no-hitter, right, in that context. But at the end of the day, the other team had no hits. That's still pretty special, regardless of how many pitchers it took you to get there. So I'm thoroughly on the fence with it as kind of an old-school baseball dude. I guess if you had to, Spencer, you got to make a pick. You got to say what you think. You got to come up with the right answer. I'd say, yeah, it's more special when one person does it. Blake Snell, by the way, the last solo no-hitter all the way back in August of 2024. But, man, we went from September 4th of 24 to May 25th of 2026 without a no-hitter in baseball. And the last two were combined. The Cubs had a combined no-hitter, Shota Umaga, Nate Pearson, and Porter Hodge back in September 4th of 2024. That was the last one before the Astros with Tatsuya Imai, Steven Okert, and Alimber Santa got the job done against the Texas Rangers last night. But Major League Baseball now 327 no-hitters. Consider all the games that have been played in baseball throughout time. 327 of whatever the final number is. I don't have it in front of me. 10,000, probably more than that, right? That's still a pretty rare feat. And a combined no-hitter, yeah, it's not one guy who no-hit everybody, but it's still special. The other team had no hits over a 9-inning game, maybe more. I think it's slightly less special than a solo no-hitter, but it's still a no-hitter, right? I understand the I get it. I get why people are hating important things. At least saying that those are not as important as the others. But the other team still had no hits, right? Zero in the hit column. It counts in my book. It still counts for something in my book. That is for sure. 319-366-1600. That was your Cubs report. And a quick other baseball note. Again, brought to you by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers at 101 South Dubuque Street in downtown Iowa City. Cubs and Pirates coming up tonight here on 1600 ESPN. Quick timeout. We'll continue on with our three big things. Power Hour edition of the show. Get to some more of your texts in just a minute as well. 319-366-1600. Spencer at Sports back after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
We'll see a few passing clouds as we head throughout the rest of the evening hours, as well as into tonight. A few showers and perhaps a thunderstorm will be possible in areas north of Highway 20. Temperatures will drop back to around 60 degrees. We'll see mostly to partly sunny skies as we go throughout our Wednesday. Hot temperatures are expected as highs reach the upper 80s to near 90 degrees. Skies will stay mostly clear Wednesday night as temperatures drop into the lower 60s. We'll stay mostly sunny on Thursday with high temperatures in the low 80s. And that was a check. If you were the first forecast, I'm meteorologist Kason Ferrer.
AC on this afternoon, maybe at home or in the car on your drive home. 85 in both Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. 1600 ESPN.
When President Trump needed fighters, Randy Feenstra was there. In Congress, Feenstra partnered with President Trump, banning men from girls' sports and women's restrooms, securing the border, deporting dangerous criminal illegal aliens, and delivering the largest working-class tax cut in American history. Now as governor, Randy Feenstra will continue to fight alongside President Trump to put America first and Iowa first by defeating big government liberals who threaten our state.
As a lifelong Iowan, I know how hard you work and how much government takes. I'm Randy Feenstra. I'm a Trump conservative who knows government isn't the solution. It's the problem. As governor, I'll lower and freeze property taxes, rip out regulations hurting farms and small businesses, and attract new industries for better jobs and bigger paychecks. With me, big government liberals will never win. Iowa is built by people who work, not politicians who take.
Trump conservative and Iowa fighter, Randy Feenstra for governor.
Paid for by Randy Feenstra for governor.
Iowa's primary election is Tuesday, June 2nd. Can't make it to the polls? You can vote absentee in person at your county auditor's office starting May 13th through June 1st. Prefer to receive your 2026 primary election ballot by mail? Request your mailed ballot today through May 18th. It must be returned before polls close at 8 p.m. Tuesday, June 2nd. Iowa. Elections you can count on. Sponsored by the Iowa Secretary of State, Iowa Broadcasters Association, in cooperation with this station.
Download to see if you qualify. Not all customers will qualify. Transfer fees may apply. No Albert subscription required. Albert is not a bank. Albert Instant Loans are issued by FinWise Bank, member FDIC. Not an actual client. Terms apply.
Kylie, what's wrong?
I just got hit with a car repair bill. I'm behind on rent, and I feel like I can never save any money.
Have you tried the Albert app? Albert is your financial assistant, helping you find ways to save and create custom budgets to actually grow your money. Plus, you can get up to $10,000 for big expenses or advance up to $1,000 fast when you need cash right away.
Albert can get me up to $10,000?
Exactly. Albert spots you in a pinch and helps you grow your money in the long run.
I'm downloading Albert right now.
Download the Albert app and use promo code SMART to borrow up to $10,000 for whatever you need. The Albert app helps you budget better and save more money so you reach your financial goals faster. Download the Albert app right now and use promo code SMART to borrow up to $10,000. Use code SMART to borrow up to $10,000.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
319-366-1600. Spencer on Sports Power Hour with you for another 20-ish minutes. Cubs pregame show starts at 5:05 tonight. Cubs and Pirates. Just talked a little bit about the losing streak on the Cubs reports. 9 straight losses for the Cubs. Looking to avoid 10 straight for the first time since the 2022 season, as we talked about. Full coverage of that on the radio side tonight, 5:05 for that game. A short show tomorrow and Thursday as well. A little bit longer show, but still a short show on Friday, if that makes sense. Cubs and Cardinals later on this week. 319-366-1600-0450. A couple texts from them on the text line. Kudos to the Iowa women for scheduling UConn. Saying it's definitely a David versus Goliath game, good for putting butts in seats, recruiting, and economy for travel and tourism. I asked the question earlier, the dream, your dream non-conference, it doesn't have to be a home-and-home, but who would you like to see if you had the power to schedule someone, schedule a team on your team's non-conference schedule, whether it's Iowa, Iowa State, whoever you cheer for, who would it be and why? I think UConn would be up there. I mean, it's been on the schedule before, so it's not maybe like a dream anymore since it's been realized a couple different times. But 0450, playing South Carolina and Dawn Staley, men's probably Duke, as they're always Final Four material. Also adding, you might consider Florida. for the men's side, for Ben McCollum and the Hawkeyes, because of how chippy that game got against. Yeah, Alvaro Fulgaris is no longer on the team, though. Doesn't matter. Still got Cam Manyaw. You got some new guys who can be enforcers, right? I'd be interested to see if they try to do that. Get Iowa and Florida together in some sort of... It would have to be kind of an organic thing. Would Todd Golden want to do that? The Florida... I think they would. Get a little revenge, maybe, but Florida maybe. Ryan with a good thought, too, on the text line. Says, I think there should be a preseason tourney consisting of all 8 Elite Eight teams from the year prior. First round played on campus, and final four played in a big venue. That'd be fun. I wouldn't mind that. Is the preseason NIT still a thing? It's been largely replaced, I think. The preseason NIT. I always thought like the preseason NIT should be kind of that concept, but instead it was just kind of thrown together at random. Like, here's USC and Belmont. Do we need USC and Belmont playing each other in the preseason? I don't know, but it always seemed kind of like, oh, that would be a good kind of like venue for that. Or some of the, like, the, I know the NABC thing is in Kansas City for a reason. It's the Hall of Fame Showcase, Hall of Fame Classic. But some of those, like, not necessarily the Champions Classic, maybe the Champions Classic. I always thought that maybe that, because they used to have, like, the opening round games that didn't count for anything, like Iowa or Iowa State, they'd play UT Chattanooga and USC Upstate on campus. Technically a game that's part of this insert tournament here. But if USC Upstate upset Iowa, Iowa would still go on to the main thing. It was a bracket, but it wasn't. I think that'd be a good idea for a tournament. Wouldn't mind that. 319-366-1600. Thank you. 8310 as well. My math is not mathing. My math is never mathing, but 8310. 238,500 total Major League Baseball games played since 1876. So I'm going to pull up. This is official radio business. I do not text while I'm on the air. It's not as bad as texting and driving. Don't do that. But I am out on my phone. 327 out of 238,500. That's like, okay. I did not get into radio for the math. 0.00137. So that's like less than a, what, thousandth of a percent of all major league games have been a no-hitter. It's still pretty rare even when you count the combined no-hitters. That's the point. 319-366-1600. A couple more minutes left. We'll get you to a quick sports menu. Let's run through our final big thing today.
Number three.
And that is some college football headlines. First of all, the breaking story from today. Brendan Sorsby, the former Indiana Hoosier, former Cincinnati Bearcat. Now, I guess you can call him a Texas Tech Red Raider. The NCAA has denied his eligibility. His request to have his athletic eligibility reinstated for the upcoming football season. NCAA has deemed him permanently ineligible after their investigation into his gambling violations, which include bets made on Indiana football while he was a member of the Hoosiers back in 2022. As we know, dear friends, this is not the end of the line. Texas Tech is going to appeal the NCAA's decision. Brendan Sorsby also separately filed a lawsuit against the NCAA seeking a temporary injunction that would grant him eligibility for the season. The injunction hearing is now under a week away. It is June 1st in Lubbock County of Texas. District court there in Lubbock County, Texas. Texas Tech is not involved with that lawsuit. So the NCAA said you are ineligible, which is the correct move here. You placed wagers on your team. If Hunter Deckers is banned for life from the NCAA, so is Brendan Sorsby. And I, again, we know that what happened with Hunter Deckers, what happened with Arlen Bruce and all these, the legality of how that data was found is very much in question. We don't need to rehash the whole story. If it's this person is banned, that person has to be banned too. Simple as that. So, sorry, Brendan, you did something dumb and you gotta live with the consequences, man. And honestly, like, if how talented he was and how good he played last year, how well he played at Cincinnati last year and the potential that he has, he could go in the supplemental draft. And that's why he wants this done by June 1, because the supplemental draft is usually here in the summer. Would a team spend a pick on Sorsby? I'm looking at you, New York Jets. Possibly, I don't know. Jets need a quarterback, that's for sure. I don't think Cade Klubnik. Geno Smith ain't the answer there in New York. I don't think Cade Klubnik is either. I'm not a Cade Klubnik hater by any means, but I'm not sure he's the guy in New York, either now or in the future. So does he go to the supplemental draft? I don't know. Does he play college football in 2026? I wouldn't be surprised if he does, right? But I hate to say that as someone, I mean, rules have to apply at some point. I'm sorry, rules have to apply. And if the rules applied to everyone else who bet on their own team, placed bets knowing that they weren't supposed to do it, then they better apply here too. You should not be making special cases. You should not be doing anything to skirt the rules. This is something that the integrity of the game, the integrity of this, actions have consequences. And so I hope the NCAA ends up winning out here with this. Can you believe I'm saying that? After how many times I've sat here and talked about the NCAA just being awful? Like, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're doing. I think this is a rule that matters here. And Sorsby being deemed permanently ineligible is the right move here. We'll see what happens with all the legalese that is yet to come, the legal matters that are yet to come. But he's ineligible. I don't think there's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. He admitted to it. He admitted to placing bets on his own team. That's what is it like? Well, he admitted to it. What's the deal? I understand his attorneys, Texas Tech, they're looking out for their own skin. But man, what if he is ruled eligible? There'll be a lot of people, and people will say in the moment you get emotional, I'm never watching college football again. What's the point of rules then? I know we keep saying that about eligibility and all these different things, but he admitted to betting on his own team when he was a member of that team. Thought it would help him fit in. Oh, I'm being a rah, rah, rah. Go Hoosiers. IU. We're terrible, but I got to show some confidence in my boys. If that doesn't matter, then what matters? That's my point. 319-366-1600. NCAA says Brendan Sorsby is not eligible. We'll see what the courts say. The other quick NCAA news piece today, it's something you've heard me talk about many, many times. So I'm not going to sit here and bore you with more CFP expansion talk. But after the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Big 12, most recently the Big Ten, have all come out and said, we want a 24-team playoff. That's where we side. Now the ball's in the SEC's court, the Southeastern Conference, to come out and say, hey, yeah, we're on track for 24. But Greg Sankey says they are not unified. Their conference is not unified on playoff expansion. Sankey said expanding from 4 to 12 teams was already monumental. He said you want to be careful how far you go. Also adding he is not an opponent of a 24-team playoff, but that they need to inform the decision-making And there's a lot of other discussion that goes around it, stuff we talked about before. What is the regular season? What does it do to the regular season? CFP expanding to 24 teams. What happens to conference championship games? The SEC, some of their members have said, yeah, we like having the championship game because it helps people tune in and watch our brands play each other. It's a celebration of the SEC season. We don't want to lose that TV revenue either, above all that. And, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens from a political perspective, not a right versus left, red versus blue type of thing, but does the Big Ten now put pressure on the SEC to, hey, we're all aligned here, you're not? I'm interested to see this play out, but Greg Sankey is saying they're not in a rush to get it figured out here this week. I love the quote, by the way, from Mike Elko from Texas A&M. He was asked about CFP expansion. He said, quote, "I want 40 teams because then I'll make it and I won't get fired." Yeah, I think that's what a lot of coaches are saying. Even at 24. Yeah, give me 24. I was on the bubble the last like 5 years. I don't want to get fired. 319-366-1600. By the way, 94 days, 18 hours, 8 minutes, and 55 seconds until week zero. But who's counting? Get you a quick check of the sports menu. Send you off to Cubs baseball after this at 1600 ESPN.
Digital.
Such a big word. You know your business needs a digital strategy, but the choices feel overwhelming. So talk to the local helpful people here at KZIA's CI Digital Group, and instead of
digital,
it will sound like
digital. I can help.
Visit CIDigitalGroup.com, click Learn More, and discover all the ways KZIA's local CI Digital Group will help you be even better. CIDigitalGroup.com.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
The search for your favorite local catering ends at Emil's Hideaway. Delicious food that even the picky people will like? That's what Emil's Hideaway delivers for your wedding, graduation party, corporate, or other big event. See the catering menu now at emilshideaway.com.
Progressive presents ways to save money that aren't bundling your home and auto insurance with Progressive.
I can't believe the deal we got on these seats for the game.
Wow, they must be pretty high up here. I think my ears just popped.
Yeah, here, put this on.
Is that an oxygen mask?
An official team oxygen mask.
Well, I can kind of see the field.
Good, your senses are still sharp. You're going to need them for phase two of the ascent.
Don't save money by sitting in the nosebleeds. You could save hundreds by switching to Progressive. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
If Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea was your best friend, it would be the kind of friend that starts an impromptu dance party in the supermarket aisle, that turns into an all-day pool party rager at your place, and you don't even own a pool. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea turns any day into a legendary adventure. It's smooth and refreshing real iced tea with just the right kick of alcohol. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Want to hear about his sports card collection? Of course you do. Now back to Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Couple minutes left before we turn you over to Cubs baseball here. 5:05 pregame, 5:40 first pitch. Cubs and Pirates from PNC Park. 319-366-1600. Let's get you a quick check of the sports menu to wrap things up for a Tuesday.
What are you eating?
Instant mashed potatoes for frozen TV dinners.
And I want to know why it didn't have mayonnaise.
Okay. On the menu today, we have...
Let's start with baseball tonight. Cubs and Pirates at 5:40. Jordan Wicks and Braxton Ashcraft, your pitching duel in that one tonight from PNC Park. Elsewhere in the Central Divisions this evening, at least Central Division teams in action. The Cleveland Guardians hosting the Washington Nationals tonight. 5:10 start time there from Cleveland. Detroit hosting the Angels at 5:40. Cincinnati is at the Mets tonight at 6:10. Chase Burns on the hill. David Peterson gets the ball for the Mets. The White Sox and the Twins tonight from the south side of Chicago. 6:40 first pitch there. Sean Burke and Joe Ryan, your mound matchup in that one. Yankees are in Kansas City this evening. Cam Schlittler and Bailey Falter your mound matchup in Kauffman Stadium. And then Brewers and Cardinals tonight at 6:40. Michael McGreevy and Kyle Harrison. Kyle Harrison has been fantastic for the Brewers. Nice 1-2 punch for Milwaukee with Jacob Mizorowski yesterday. And now Kyle Harrison tonight, 6:40 for that NL Central battle there. Tampa's at Baltimore. Atlanta's at Boston. Miami playing at Toronto tonight. Houston, can they do back-to-back combined no-hitters? We'll see. Houston at Texas tonight at 7:05. Phillies in San Diego. Seattle is at the Athletics tonight. Arizona's at San Francisco. And the Dodgers are hosting Colorado. NBA tonight, the only conference finals series still active. You've got Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals tonight. The Thunder, they are home favorites, 3.5-point favorites over the San Antonio Spurs. That series all tied up at 2 games apiece. Game 6 on Thursday, potential Game 7 would be Saturday night. Two more games in OKC. So OKC's got the home court advantage going into that series. They have had that home court advantage, obviously, because they're the number one seed. But two of the final three, best 2 out of 3 here as OKC and San Antonio look to advance to face off with the New York Knicks in the postseason or in the NBA Finals starting next week. Wednesday, hockey tonight. We could have our first entry to the Stanley Cup Finals. Vegas up 3-0 on home ice tonight, 8 o'clock on ESPN, taking on the Colorado Avalanche. Vegas up 3-0. Our team of the show, Montreal, has faltered lately. Montreal, we're up 1-0 and now trail 2-1 in the Eastern Conference Finals. That series continues tomorrow night. We'll talk a little bit more hockey on the show tomorrow, get you a roundup of everything that's happened in hockey and on the ice here going into the Stanley Cup Final, which is coming up here very soon as well. That'll do it for the Power Hour today. Back with you tomorrow at 4. Cubs baseball coming up just past top of the hour, 5:05, the pregame, 5:40 first pitch. Cubs and Pirates taking over the airwaves next here on 1600 ESPN. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.